So this morning's message comes from the 17th chapter of John, the 6th verse through the 19th. And just to set this up, this is right in the middle of Jesus praying. The way it's set up in the Gospel of John is John has Jesus doing this kind of like at the Last Supper, before the crucifixion. What we have figured out is that this is after the fact. We know that the Gospel itself was written probably 60 years after the Ascension. So sometimes the timing in this book is kind of weird. You know, like you've got John talking about the cleansing of the temple, the clearing out of the temple very early on. So you can't follow a timeline here. So there's a lot of theologians that think this prayer is a post-resurrection prayer. As a matter of fact, in some churches across the country today, we called it the seventh Sunday in Easter. In some churches, it's called Ascension Sunday. And that's why, because they talk about Jesus ascending into heaven, and they use this as the prayer that he offered. But all of that stuff aside, listen to what he has to say about the disciples and the followers. And those followers are who? You. And they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave them, I gave them. And they took it, and they were convinced that I come from you. They believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours and yours mine. And my life is on display in them. For I am no longer going to be visible in the world. They will continue in the world while I return to you, Holy Creator. Guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be of one heart and mind, as we are one heart and mind. As long as I was with them, I guarded them in the pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a lookout, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proven the rule of Scripture. Now I am returning to you. I am saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word, and the godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join in the world's ways, just as I didn't join in the world's ways. I am not asking that you take them out of the world. I'm going to say that again, just so you settle on that for a minute. I am not asking that you take them out of this world, but guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy. Consecrate them with truth. Your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I am consecrating myself for their sake, so that they will be truth consecrated in their mission. This is the gospel of Jesus the Christ. Wow. Okay, so if we're really honest this morning, how many of you sitting at home or hear, as you were listening to that prayer, your eyes glazed over. A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Because Jesus is trying to make a couple of things really, really clear here. And that is that we're all interconnected. That God, Jesus, and us have this connection. And he goes way out of his way to make sure that he knows that it is you that he is praying for. At the beginning of this prayer, he says, "They have done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. The message you gave me, I gave to them." Okay, so first point of a three-point sermon this morning, what is the message that God gave? Anybody want to take a guess if you're sitting here?
Love.
Okay, you're on the right track. Micah 6:8. You know what it is that God requires. That you do justice. That you are merciful. And that you are humble in your relationship with God. Jesus very clearly points out in his prayer to God, look, I gave them that message. They know there is no excuse. They know that they are to be fair. They know that as hard as it may be sometimes, when people are total idiots, when people do things that just make you want to scream into a pillow, that that needs to be followed up by you being willing to forgive them. We know then that our relationship with God is about being humble. That we're not too good for anybody, amen?
We're not wishing harm on people.
Well, there you
go.
They
don't think as us.
I hope you heard that. Billy just kind of piked in there that not wishing harm on other folks. Let that settle in for a little bit as you think about the people that you think deserve the wrath of God. That is not what God is asking us to do. God is asking us, next, to love. To love as unconditionally. And you know, that is, what was that? The one and only command that Jesus gave us. That you love one another as I have loved you. That's even to the point of stepping so far out of self as to be willing to lose your life over the deal. You know, I cannot think and have not thought of a better example of being willing to step outside of yourself than these. You know, what was the first thing that we heard about the Mass? The Mass were not for your protection. Amen? They were for the protection of the folks around you. So yes, we've got to the point where we've got vaccines out there, but we still have an obligation for those who are not vaccinated to protect them. Despite themselves, maybe. But we have an obligation if we are going to love in the same way that Jesus loved us. I don't understand why this is so difficult, but I'm going to put it out there. If you really pay attention to this prayer, there is no need for a church. Because what happens in a church? I know there's plenty of naysayers out there that'll tell me, well, I don't go to church because it's all a bunch of rules and it's all a bunch of blah, 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 blah. And they all they want is your money. Hey, you know what? They're absolutely right. Jesus did not do what he did so that we could form a church. Jesus did what he did so that you could have life.
A relationship.
Now, I got to tell you, if Jesus did that so that you could have life, what is your responsibility for those people around you? Well, to be fair, to be merciful, and to be humble. in those relationships. Somebody said that instead of a church, we should have a society of Jesus. That's probably not a unique term, a new term, but I liked it. It jumped out at me. How about if we, instead of calling ourselves Christians, we belong to a society of Jesus? And, you know, when you want to know, when you need to think about how to practice, well, hello, practice what, go on. Hi, bye.
Keep going.
You know, in The Lord of the Rings, it was butterflies that showed up.
We get wasps. At
an appropriate time. I don't know what that is. It's not a wasp.
Leave it alone.
But you're welcome.
It'll go well.
Anyway. Where was I? Oh, the Society of Jesus. We need to start focusing on what Jesus taught. What is it that Jesus requires of us? See, it isn't really about this thing, this institutional church. And I can tell you that a General Spirit Christian Church, I'm not interested in the institutional church. What I am interested in is what Jesus prayed for us to do, that we would be unified in what? I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me. I was naked, or as they say in Georgia, naked, and you clothed me. Folks, that doesn't take a lot of debate. All it takes, is understanding that Jesus has already prayed for you and given you the ability to love as much as he loves you. God bless you this morning.